Godot 4. When Godot 4 was fresh out the oven, one of the things that started happening was amazing looking scenes started appearing, right? There were a couple that were super notable. One of those scenes was the one that you can see over here, called the spaceship demo scene. Everyone I know that saw it was like, is this Godot? No way. All right, it was amazing. Our host today, Janusz Jago, is here to talk to us about the process and some super clever techniques that you can use in 3D game production. Really cool stuff. Can't wait for it. So everyone, let's welcome Janusz Jago to the stage.
Hello, everyone. I'm Janusz. Thank you for inviting me to GodotCon. And I have an honor to tell you about my journey to make this this cool demo scene for Godot 4. So in this talk, I will describe my workflows, processes, how I made graphics and made it work in Godot. I will also cover which tools I used and also maybe give you some technical tips of how you can make similar things and hopefully even inspire you a bit to do the same. And for the if here are any Godot engine developers, then maybe I will also talk about some of the issues that I had and can give you some remarks about how I overcome these issues and maybe nudge you towards fixing some of them. So let's get started. But first of all, let me briefly introduce myself. So my name is Janusz Jago. I'm an indie game developer from Estonia. So Estonia is a small Baltic country, right below the Finland. And I'm also I'm living kind of like a dual life. So I'm also a teacher. I'm a junior lecturer at the University of Tartu, Institute of Computer Science. And I'm teaching pretty much the same thing that I'm doing as my whole time. I'm teaching game development and computer graphics. And all the time I have left over, I'm making my own games. So maybe you've also seen my game Blaster Note before. Noticed that? So I've been making it quite a while now. And actually, I migrated to the Godot engine, actually quite recently. It was year 2020 when the pandemic started, and I was kind of burned out a little bit from my previous engine, so I decided to give Godot a try, and I really liked it so much that I didn't want to really go back anymore, and I continued working with this project that I started, the Blaster Note project. It's It puts Godot game engine quite to the test, and although it's a 2D game, it's has an infinite procedural world, and you can check my previous talk from the earlier GodotCon. I gave a very brief one about how this was made. But thanks to Godot engine, I was also able to release this game in early access last year. And since that, I'm trying to be like a good indie developer, like keep updating my early access game and not forgetting it. So since that, I've added quite a lot of updates, and that's my main thing. Now the motivation for working on this Godot 4 demo scene actually came from the reason that the Godot 4 came out earlier this year. And at that time, the release candidates already started appearing, and it was pretty much the prime time to test it out and see what I can do with it. So I decided to brush off some of the dust from my 3D modeling skills, as I hadn't done it for 3 years. So at the time, there also weren't many 3D demo scenes, so I think still there are a few enough that we would like to have them more. So I hope that today's talk will encourage you to maybe try the same thing. Although my friend Rafa had made a really cool car scene for his game, for Franz Furi, that you can see here. And I wanted to try something similar and maybe do something to also boost my own game. So the very original idea came from the Devolverland Expo. So this was actually a pretty cool little free game made by the Devolver Digital publisher and released free in Steam. And a lot of people really liked it, and it was a cool marketing product because it showed all the different games that they made there. And I thought that it would be pretty nice to have something similar for Godot games, and there were at the time already quite a lot of pretty cool and successful Godot games finished as well. So my very original idea was to actually make some kind of a futuristic sci-fi game shop that displays all the different Godot games. I haven't thrown this idea to the bin yet, but so if there are some developers who have made released their games and they are up to trying something new, then maybe we can collaborate in the future. But back at the beginning of this year, I thought that I didn't have enough time to really finish it and gather all the developers for the moment. So I the scene also seemed to be quite difficult to make, a lot of different environments and asset pieces. So I wanted to do something simpler and really get it done. So at the time, I also had played around a little bit with AI image generation, and I got this really, I really like this spaceship hangar concept. So I think AI is a pretty cool tool for just generating ideas and concepts for other pieces. So I really wanted to explore this image, but I couldn't because it's just an image. And also AI is not very good at attaching stories and making it a personal thing. So I think it's pretty good idea to turn a visual concept into something more substantial. So now I had a plan. That's what I was about to do. And I also had gathered different 3D tools over time that I wanted to put into test. And first I wanted to experiment with some Blender workflows. And I noticed very cool tools like Fluent Power Trip and Fluent Materializer that are pretty much hard surface modeling software. Similar to the hard ops and the materializer was a node based material creation tool. So they were made by the same author and were supposed to fit together pretty well. So initially I gave those tools a try, and I did a day and a little bit more experimenting, but eventually, it didn't work out really well. So I think the non-destructive modeling is quite cool. However, you can do it really fast. But getting from just a concept to and going through all the different processes means that you also need to afterwards do the retopo for the for the model to make it game ready. And you also need to bake it, and there are so many steps that that it takes just too much time. And additionally, to really bake out every model as a unique hero piece generates a lot of texture files as well. And for a modern game, I wanted to make a first person game. That means that you can really look objects closely, and they had to have really large textures. It also means that you're ending up gigabytes of different textures and even one material with 4K textures can be usually around 50 megabytes in size because it scales really really quickly. So I took a step back and thought about what other options do I have. And I remembered another technique, and this technique actually was illustrated quite well in a GDC talk about the world building in the Ascent game. So the lead director of the game, the Thor Frick, gave this presentation, and actually what turned out that the entire game, it's a big, huge open world game, really, really cool, uses just one trim texture sheet for the entire game, and it has a lot of advantages. And by using these trim textures, they were able to make the pretty complex game with a very limited and small team, and having like thousands of pieces of assets very quickly. So I started looking into trim sheets and started looking at what kind of layout would fit the best for a trim sheet, because if you're looking around in the internet, there are actually, every artist has their own kind of trim sheet layout, and there are a lot of options. So what is the best way to set up a trim sheet? And ultimately, I ended up in the ultimate trim layout, the standard trim layout that's recommended a lot. And what's good about this trim layout, it has like two sets of materials in different stripes. At the bottom, it also has some room for additional details that you can add on top of the models. And pretty much you can make any kind of scenes with just two materials. It's or objects, and allows you to quite a bit. And if you align all your different materials with the same layout, you can also swap them and reuse them pretty quickly. So it's good to have your own refined material. However, I also did some little alterations for this layout. So first of all, I ordered the stripes differently. So in the ultimate trim sheets, the stripes are all alternating. However, I grouped them together pairwise. And the benefit of having them pairwise is that now I was also able to take larger trims. So to add more details, I can take like larger trims that span over multiple like stripes at once, and have some variety in there, and yeah. So still have like same material, but on larger surfaces. And secondly, I also added some more details on the edges of the trim sheet, so that if you sample from out, like on the middle of the edges, or like outside the texture UV range, you can kind of like have multiple different details based on where do you sample on the sheet, and yeah, and on the bottom I added a couple of different like metallic details that were also good to sample in used in different locations, and hide those pipes behind some areas. All right, so that was my layout. Also, one tip is that when you're making a trim sheet, you shouldn't use too much metallic textures. So this trim sheet just has one tiny metal strip on the top and different worn edges, but don't like make entire metallic trim sheets, and because if you use too much metallic materials on your environment, they don't work really well with reflections. The reflection probes usually get black holes in the locations where you have metallic surfaces. So be mindful of how much metal you use in your materials and environments. And the tool that I used to make this trim sheet was actually called Surforge. It's actually a competing game engine's like plugin, but it's meant for making your own textures, and it's pretty good for that. So you can also use the Substance Designer or some other alternative tool, but I just have this at hand and I'm already familiar with it. So it's actually a pretty cool piece of software. So if someone wants, they could also try to recreate it for Godot, because it allows you to add 3D models in a texture and then render it into like different maps all at once. But on top of that, I also did some little alteration. So although this tool produces all the common maps, metallic, roughness, albedo, normal, etc., I also like edited the roughness a bit so that I added more noise there. It's always useful to have a little bit noise in the roughness map so that the textures are extra shiny and look interesting. And I also wanted, I didn't know which colors do I want to have in my finished piece. So what I did, I rendered out this very bright green color texture, and in Affinity Designer, that's my go-to image editor, I extracted the green colors from the texture and turned it into a color mask. So now I also had like the white textured albedo model and the color mask, and I was able to combine them in an interesting way. I will show it in a second. So in the end, the entire scene uses two different trim sheets. It uses a painted metal one that has these two stripes. One is just generic gray tone, and another one with the colored ones, and also a concrete material for the hangar pieces. And I actually did a little mistake here. On the hindsight, I would have actually like switched the materials on the concrete map so that they align the same way. So currently they are reversed, and I can't like really switch them so well the materials. But just a mistake that I noticed too late in the development. All right, and the next step was to set up the material in Godot, test it out. So I made like a sample material, initially using just a built-in Godot shader. But there is a really cool feature in Godot that you can actually right-click on the material and save your material as its own custom shader. So you can just save like a material that you're configured as a distinct shader and continue editing it. So it's really handy. So I added the color switching functionality here, and it's quite simple. As you can see on the bottom, it just samples the mask, it samples the albedo texture, and then it mixes together the albedo texture and tinted albedo texture based on the mask value. So as you can see, now I was able to just change the color value and the texture changes as well. All right, now my data set up. I was sure that that these were working properly. The next step was to find a proper way to create a lot of assets really quickly. And here I also found another tool for Blender. It's called Creed Modeler by Kushiro. And it's actually a really nifty tool. It almost works like a box cutter, where you have like the creed that you can add and just draw different shapes and turn them into geometry. However, it's not non-destructive. It works right into the edit mode. It's completely destructive, but it's super good because it makes the modeling super fast. You can just iterate really quickly. And if you're interested in it, I recommend to check out other Kushiro's videos. He also makes a lot of speed modeling himself, and he's really good at like turning out super complex geometry very, very quickly with his tools. So yeah, I checked out this tool. It's really, really useful. So my original blog out looked like that. I wasn't really happy with the first version of the spaceship, but it already gave me like a kind of proportions and way to see how to set it up in the Godot. So make some quick gray boxing, and if it doesn't work out, don't spend too much time on it. So then I needed also a workflow for applying the textures, applying the trim sheets. And in Blender, there are two main tools that help you to do that. So there are Ultimate Trim UV, which is a free like Blender plugin, and it's easy to set up. But in my experience, I didn't like the workflow and the usability that much. I prefer the other solution, which is called Tcal Machine, which is quite a bit more expensive tool that can do also a lot of other cool workflows and stuff. But I already had it in my library, so why not to use it? The setup in Tcal Machine is quite complex. You need to really go through a complex process to set up your Tcal like layouts or like your trim sheet layouts. But after that, you can actually quite easily like just scroll up with mouse wheel and choose which stripe do you want to add to your model. So with some specialized tools, you can speed up the workflow quite a bit. But yeah, in the future, I hope that there will be even better tools for trim sheets that are designed for that. So that was after the first texturing round. As you can see, I've also switched out the spacecraft model here. But once again, you shouldn't get too stuck in one process, like modeling or texturing, because especially with texturing, textures and lighting are really hand-to-hand processes, and they both like affect each other. So if you spend too much time in initial texturing, you might end and you might find out later that your textures do not work very well, and you might make them lighter or something like that. So I added it to Godot quite soon, and this was the first lighting setup. I also a lot of people ask me, did I try the Godot 4 signed distance TI, and I did. However, the issue with signed distance TI is that it also requires the voxel TI to be baked. Otherwise, it's quite useless. And if you move the camera, the gliding changes all the time. But for my complex scene, when I tested it, the voxel TI baking fails or it gets stuck. So for the Godot developers, I recommend you should probably add some kind of like a progress meter. I would like to see how many voxels are baked, so I know whether it will take me an hour or a day or 10 years to finish. So yeah, and if you could also allow the developer to just rebake like a section of voxels, it will be perfect. So I stick to the light mapping, light baking, but initially, when I did it, it turned out that the dynamic shadows were actually better, and I couldn't get rid of the crisp like shadows on the baked lighting. On the direction light, there is no like section for that. So my workaround was to use a spotlight instead. So this gave me this really nice smooth penumbra, and like mimicking like a foggy sky, so just a spotlight really far away. I also added like a different details you should usually fill your scenes with a lot of debris, as I did here. I molded bunch of groups of different debris and just spread it and dump them out, and also added a couple of other detail elements. And as you can see, it gradually gets better and better. Now, something that you might not see very well is actually the ivy. And the problem why you don't see it, because I had it really little. So in the next part, I cranked it up, like scale it up a ton, and it's instantly much, much nicer. Everything looks much better. So although it might be a little bit too large, I think it's now pretty cool. However, the ivy, by default, I didn't have a shadows for it. And I tested the shadow baking, but it turned out really, really dark, and I kind of liked the look, but something was wrong. And in a closer inspection, it actually turns out that the semi-transparent materials are baked as a solid in Godot. Something also that the developers might think about in the future. But my workaround for it was to actually create like a proxy mesh for the shadows. So I used the Blender geometry nodes to just make a cloud of triangles, and this pretty much solved this issue for that moment, and that is nice dotty shadows. However, it also had the sound side that it increased the primitive count from 1 million to 2 million. So yeah, there are a lot of triangles visible there. And it doesn't also make it better that Godot only has like options for disabled or baked options in their shadows. So there is no only baked and no dynamic option, shadow options. So yeah, having like regular dynamic shadows on these polygons is quite expensive. However, it was easily to overcome by just making a little script that turns out the shadows after the game starts. Here's a quick look of the polycount. So initially, the anger itself is actually quite lightweight. It's just 140 triangles. But the rubble is actually quite a lot, so it increased it to 750, because yeah, there are, although I had made the rubble quite low poly, there is still quite a lot of it, and they are sometimes clipping through the walls and increased it a bit, and the EV meshes, just the regular like semi-transparent geometry, actually is not that hard, so. The triangle clouds really added a lot of extra geometry to that was invisible, but still used for the shadow mapping. So yeah, so that's where the million polygons comes from. So yeah, turning off the shadows on runtime definitely solves the issue. However, there are some additional downsides as well. So later on, I was kind of noticing that the baking got quite a bit longer as well. So you have a lot of triangles. It obviously increases the baking time, and overall makes the development slower and not so nice. So. I tried another approach, which is to also optimize the ivy meshes a bit and make like a very handcrafted geometry for it that has the holes baked into it. So so here's my processes. So I first I did it twice. The first time it got a little bit high poly, 253s, and the second time I got it reduced to 107, And I'm quite proud of the optimization. It not just the shadow baking time, but it also decreases the overthrow of the ivy, and I was just able to add much more of it. I also made the texture tensor, so yeah. And the new models that was composed of for those Ivy planes looked a little bit like spaghetti, I think. So quite tasty, and also tasty for the GPU. So yeah, those meshes combined are just under 5,000 triangles, which covers the scene quite well, and actually even made the shadows much nicer, because first of all, now the Ivy itself could self-shadow, so that issue was fixed, and also the shadows got a little bit darker, which helped as well. All right, next I started working on the outside environment. So, as you know, there is no terrain node in Godot built in, but I think it's okay. But for my demo scene, I didn't really want to use like too many outside or third party plugins. I wanted to keep it lean. So for this scene, I just wanted a little like something behind the gate, so it's not just completely flat. So I made this custom geometry, custom outside that's only looks good at a certain angle. however, I wanted to have a nice non-repeating ground surfaces. So yeah, when you just add a plain ground on a mesh, or a plain texture on a mesh, it kind of starts repeating quite quickly. So the solution how to break this repetition easily is to add multiple materials and blend them together based on vertex colors. You can make a custom shader pretty fast. So I made those meshes and I exported them from Blender to Godot, and at first it was all messed up. All the like nice arranged like patches were all randomly like distributed as a noise. So something was wrong. So I'm not sure if it's fixed by the latest Godot version, but it actually turns out that the GLTF format is not that handy with vertex colors, and Collada works though. So the solution for that was just to export this piece in Collada that exports the vertex colors correctly. All right, and for the outsides, I needed even more hand-made textures. I could have used like photographs as well, but I didn't have them at hand, and I didn't want to use any like third-party like textures or textures that are not CC0 licensed. So I spent a little bit more time to really hand paint them. It took a bit time, but I'm quite happy with the result, and it shows that you can actually hand paint realistic looking textures as well. So these are some of the examples, and the same goes for the trees. But I'm not that happy with the trees. They look a little bit low poly from the distance. A little bit PlayStation 2 era, but for now I think it was enough. So that's something I definitely could have improved. So these are the outside scenes, and once I put it together, there arose another issue, namely the outside now had quite large scale in distance. So to have a nice like broad view, and there was an issue with light baking, because if you just bake such a long distances, it really takes forever, and it generates like really huge light maps that are like enormous. So the solution for that is obviously to reduce the light map size for the distant objects. So I tried to do that, but in Godot option, like in the geometry lightmap scale option, there is just four different options. There is like one time, two time, and up to eight time. Not nearly enough to scale anything from the distances that I needed. So they still produced huge light maps. Even if I made everything that was close by one x and everything in distance 8x. So yeah. Maybe you can just add some more options in the future. I think it shouldn't be too hard. However, there are a couple of other places where you can change the light map sizes as well, luckily. So the other place is under the mesh settings. So mesh has their own light map resolution saved into them, and you can manually correct them, tweak them. So yeah, for a while, I just removed the last digit, and it was small enough to not take too much space. There was an issue too. If you do that, every time you re-import the models, the light map size will be overwritten. So you need to manually tweak all those values again. So yeah, that was quite frustrating a couple of times. So eventually I got tired of it. And there is a third option. And this is actually when you import the mesh, then you can also change the light map size on the entire model that you have. So eventually I exported a different set of geometry for the large scale and medium scale and nearby geometry and gave them all different light map sizes. So that works, but it took quite a lot of trial and error to get to this conclusion that you need to have multiple exports. Because yeah, one GLTF file can only have one light map text size at one time. All right, then that's the outside look. So I'm quite happy other than the trees that are maybe a little bit too low poly. All right, next I wanted to give it a little bit different atmospheres and different lighting conditions. So the backside I blocked in with a door with a red light, and I personally really like the reflection probes, reflection probes, and just bake all the reflections. It's fast, and it actually looks really good if you set them up correctly. So in your reflection probes, there are little checkbox to use the box projection, and you just need to scale the reflection probe area to fit the geometry as nicely as possible to have like really crisp and almost like if your scene is boxy enough, it will match really well and look almost like ray traced. So in Godot, I'm super happy with the reflection probes. They just work out of the box. You can change their resolution in the settings and there is no hassle. In other engines, I've always had some hassle with getting them work correctly and blended correctly. And another place where the reflection probes are really obvious are the insides of the spacecraft. So these nice light stripes that are reflected on the ramp are actually also just reflection probes. They might not be like 100% correctly reflected. Like as you can see currently, the right side should probably occlude the reflections a bit, but they trick the brain pretty well. So yeah, reflection probes are really nice in Godot. And I also tried the screen space reflections, but in my opinion, they make to make the reflections too crisp, and I prefer the more diffused look of the reflection probes. Right, so one little detail that was also nice was initially I just added different point lights around the scene to make it look nice without any purpose. And it really works. I always had this this orange light in the side at the side of the spaceship, but eventually it should make some kind of sense where the light comes from. So I added those standing lights, and to make them extra nice, I gave them just a simple like billboard that's facing towards the player. With a billboard shader and this lens flare makes them like super polished. Simple trick, but works quite well. On the back side of the scene, I wanted to give it some more lively look, make it like someone was kind of staying there or something like that. So I used the Blender cloth simulation to make this hammock, and yeah, although the default cloth simulation made it like really bendy, I stretched it out, up a bit, and it looks much nicer than a hand sculpted version. So it was also a nice collaboration between open source software. And to give it my own personal touch, I had an idea that I would like to have like a gaming machine at the back of the area that plays the Plasternaut game. So how I did it was I didn't embed the entire Plasternaut game into the demo, but I just recorded a small video of it, a really low quality to make it run fast, and I had a viewport, I rendered it on top of the viewport. For some reason, if you just assign the texture, like the render texture in the editor, it doesn't like really connect. So you need to actually set the texture inside the code. But here is the code, just one line, nothing special. And at first, it didn't really run. It was just black screen. So I wondered quite a bit. So why does it work in the UI, but not on the actual 3D geometry where I wanted to display this texture? And it turned out that you also need to set the sub viewport update mode to always update. So unless if it's outside the view, which is what it always is, it's not rendering. So yeah, and it has a nice Plasternaut running on. I also added some particles to the scene, dust particles. I got the idea from the Rafa and his Godot scene, so we had a little competition. And at the time, there was a bug with the particles that if you use like alpha blended shaders, then they don't work well with fog. They leave like borders around them. But I just used regular alpha blending instead. Oh, if you use additive blending, then they don't work. Alpha blended work nicely. So yeah, and finally, putting all things together, I also added some controls. I added some UI options, and as an extra touch, I added a color selection in the UI, so you can actually change the colors real time. And whenever you changed it, I also notified the reflection probes. Just call reflection probes. By default, they are just not updating every frame. But whenever I change the color, you can just call reflection probe update once, and it just works. It re-renders all the reflection probes, and it's really nice to see all the pretty much all the lighting change all at once. So even if you can't have dynamic global illumination, just having reflection probes that you can update gives quite a nice touch as well. So I think that's that was all. That was the entire project broken apart. So who haven't seen this video yet, here is the final result of the demo scene. And yeah, quite a lot of people liked it. So I was super, super happy. Especially that I chose Godot, as there already are a lot of demo scenes for other game engines, but people were super excited when they saw it in Godot. So, I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
You mentioned a couple of times that it speeds up your process, but how long it takes after all?
Yeah, the entire development took me just a bit over a month. Quite a bit, like let's say a month of work full time. I didn't do like all day on. I used different spots in the afternoon and evening. So that's why it also took me a little bit more than a month to develop. But approximately one month of work. 160 hours. So yes.
So you mentioned that you avoid metallic textures because they look black in the baked version. Don't you think that just some kind of bug that should be reported? Because it sounds like they try to use baked reflections that are not baked yet or something like that.
To bake some reflections into textures, you mean? Can you?
Yeah, so I mean, at the beginning of the talk, you said that you avoided metallic textures in trim sheets.
Yes.
So you said that they look black for some reason when you baked, and they see them in the reflections. Did I understand correctly?
To be 100% honest, I haven't really tested in Godot. I have tried it in other engines, but usually materials like metallic. Materials don't diffuse light, so they just tint the reflections on their own. So unless the reflection capture actually takes like multiple bounces into considerations, they usually tend to look just black on the reflection probe images. So and this means that they themselves don't give out the correct color in the reflections, but I probably should test it more in Godot as well to give you more precise answer.
Okay, yes, I have a question about trip sheet. You said that using trip sheet is better than using texture. Why? What's the difference between trip sheet and textures?
So there trim sheet is a texture, but it's a texture that you apply in a texture first approach. So you first make the texture, and then you will model and use this texture. Usually, like traditionally, it's done the other way around. You make the model and then you paint it. But the benefit of using trim sheet is that you can reuse the different areas, different little bolts and details that you have, and cover the entire model with just single texture, and also reuse the same trim sheet for multiple models. So eventually it keeps your project light, and it's really nice to work with projects that are not hundreds of gigabytes in size. that's I personally what I really like about Godot is that it's really light and fast, and I like to keep it that way.
Hi. I really like your trim sheet, but just like a small suggestions. So the mask, the green mask that you have on your spaceship, you can basically just use the first vertex channel inside Blender, so that you can save like one one draw call for that, and also like the black and white mask that you have there. So basically, you can put that into the alpha channel of your albedo and your normal map as well.
Yeah. So I don't think that the vertex colors work so well for the masks, because it has a lot of like tiny details that you don't want to tint. You don't want to tint the scratches that are metallic, and you just want to tint the surfaces that are colored, or like recolor those surfaces. But for the multiple masks, I actually did that. I packed metallic albedo roughness together. I also packed the height and color masks together. It makes it faster to sample, and it also it also reduces the file sizes quite a bit. So without that technique, they are the size of the textures is even beyond 50 megabytes. So yeah.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
Have you tried revisiting the same scene in Godot 4.2 or 4.1?
Yeah, I have opened it up. It opened up nicely in Godot 4.1, and everyone else can also do that. It's available in the Godot asset library. So it takes like 5 minutes to just click download the scene in the starting menu. It downloads 5 minutes, and then you open it up and it's there. So you can try it yourself. But I haven't tried it in Godot 4.2 yet. I hope it works.
It's really quick. How's the demo license? Like, what's the license of the demo?
The project itself and also source code is under MIT license for the code. For the assets, I have put them under Creative Commons attribution, non-commercial for now. In with the clause that if any Godot developer wants to actually use them in their game, just take contact with me and I'll give you my permission to use that. So I don't want to like make them completely open source to not see like many asset packs made out of my assets. So, but if you are excited to use them, then just write me in Twitter or current X, for example, and I'll happily provide you the right to use to do so.
You mentioned earlier that you used another engine before and then switched to Godot. I was wondering what exactly about Godot made you stick? What was the nice thing that you wanted from another engine but couldn't get, but you could get it in Godot?
That you can finally, I was finally able to make games. and not so. So yeah, in Godot, the Godot script is just so nice and lovely to work with. It's super compact. It's the API is made for humans and developers. So yeah, I think the Godot script was what I mostly fell in love to. So I have to say I was really a big fan of C# before. And I didn't really like Python, but I started to love Godot script.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you too.